let us begin the service by singing 428, the first and the second stanza. 428. How blessed are the perfect in the way who walk me in Jehovah's law with pleasure. Preserve the piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his worth the treasure. Number 428, the first and the second stanza. Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Further, we read to you out of God's holy word, the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, and we start with verse 22. Acts 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. That Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sceptre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy voice thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unworthy generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things come, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord bare the to the church daily such as should be saved. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee, in thy condescending mercy, and in thy long suffering, to bring us for the third time in this Sabbath day in this house of worship, to place ourselves under thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Lord, look upon us from on high. Have mercy with us together, young and old, great and small, as travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity, that thy word be opened in this evening, and that it was preached in our midst, and everywhere where thy people come together, after the meaning of the Holy Spirit, Spirit, that Christ be glorified and extolled as that only name which is given under heaven, whereby that we must be saved, and that the wonders of that free and sovereign grace may be glorified amongst us, that many also amongst as an outside of us were pricked in their heart, and that it was heard also amongst us, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Thou speakest and it is, or commandest and it stands firm, that thy divine power be revealed in the conversion of sinners, but also in the uncovering of all the false foundations, and in the establishing of thy work in the hearts of thy children. Give them provision and a pathway through the desert and wilderness of this world, and that they receive in their heart the Holy Spirit, but also the comfort of that Spirit and the influence of that Spirit, as also the instruction of that Spirit, where thy people cannot live without it from day to day. Have mercy with us and with our children and grandchildren. Give the fear of thy name in their heart, and that they walk in thy ways, and that our life be in preparation to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, where there is only one step between us and death. Supply the needs of all thy people over the length and breadth of the earth, also in the countries where they are persecuted at the present time. There is in some countries so much suffering on account of the truth, where the spirit of communism is working and is trying to devour everything. But Lord, thou art the King of kings, And the Lord of Lords showed thy divine power, and that it may please thee to build thy church in the alarming times in which we are living. We commend all the needs and wants at thy throne, also for the mission fields, and for all those who are laboring there. Strengthen and sustain them with all thy servants, increasing their number, and building thy church upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. The sick and afflicted amongst us and outside of us, we commend them at thy throne, especially that young mother who entered into the hospital in this afternoon again. Lord, thou knowest the circumstances. Thou knowest the needs and the wants of her, that it may please thee to remember her in mercy, and that they may find something that she can come back in her family to perform their labors and their duties, but that all those deep ways be sanctified to their heart, and that it bears fruit for eternity. Remember the country with all those that rule over us. Remember widows, orphans, and widows. And grant unto us also this evening for the third time that privilege to speak thy word with boldness and with liberty, and that many errands and errors were amongst us, but above all that Christ is a great intercessor, that he take it for us up, that we seek the honor of the Lord and the welfare of Zion, and that all with the pardoning and remission of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 241. 241. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Number 241. There is, beloved congregation, a close connection between the evidences that we commemorate in the church year after year. Christmas, that is always called the Feast of the Father. God with us. And with Easter, what Christ had done in his suffering and resurrection to the honor of the Lord and to the welfare and deliverance of his church. And with Pentecost, then especially we give our attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. It is mentioned God for us, God with us, and God in us. And now the necessity of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We have to realize that today. What prophet, would give us the love of the Father and the mediatorial work of Christ if the Holy Spirit does not apply it to our soul? That is one of the things denied in practice in the times in which we are living. They will talk about that subject, what Christ had done. And then in the second place, they come on the foreground with what we have to do. But, you know, we are rational creatures. And that lay for all of us a great responsibility. We cannot take that away, and we cannot deny that. That is impossible. But at the other end, on the day of Pentecost, then you see so clear. I have read to you the last part of that chapter this evening, but you can realize out of that chapter the necessity of the Holy Spirit, that he have to come on the foreground and that he had to come in our heart and to dwell in our heart. but also to apply what Christ had merited for his church. I will this evening for a while, with the help of the Lord, speak about that. And my text is in the Acts of the Apostles, the 2nd chapter. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This far. I will try this evening to explain that text to you, word after word. The first word is suddenly. If you read that word, then you would say suddenly. In the first page of the Bible, then we read about the Holy Spirit, that Spirit was moving upon the waters. And in Numbers 11, there you find Moses praying for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that all God's people were prophets, and that God give his Spirit in them. There, that mediator of the Old Testament had already a longing for what had taken place on the day of Pentecost in the time of the New Testament. You read about Yahshua in one text, the servant of Moses, that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You think about Nehemiah, that is in the 9th chapter, also a text that speaks about the instruction of the Holy Spirit. In the Psalms, and especially in the Psalms of David, then the Holy Spirit is many times mentioned there. In the Song of Solomon, then they ask also for the pouring out of the Spirit in the 4th chapter. And the promises of that Spirit were given by the prophet Isaiah, by the prophet Ezekiel, bij de profeet Joël, bij de profeet Zacharia. En dan tussen Malachi, de laatste profeet van het Old Testament, en de coming of Christ into this world, there was 400 years. And now that text said here, when it speaks about the outpouring of the Spirit, and suddenly how happy to explain that now. That the fathers in the Old Testament for so many, many years were looking for the outpouring and sending of the Spirit. Christ was walking with his disciples for 3 years. And several times, you know that, several times, Christ promised the disciples the coming of the Spirit in their heart and in their midst. And now, finally, the disciples, after the ascension of Christ, they were for 10 days in that upper room with praying and supplication, crying for the coming of that Spirit. And then can we now say suddenly, yes, we can speak about suddenly. There is always a certain time in between that the Lord fulfilled his promises. You find that everywhere in the Word of God. Abraham, he had to wait 25 years before that Isaac was born. And Isaac, he was praying 20 years in the presence of his wife, Rebecca, for a son. But still, how long that they have to wait when the Lord comes, then it is suddenly. The word suddenly here in this text, that means by surprise. The Lord Jesus, he had promised that he would send his Spirit not long after his taking up in heaven, and not so much longer than that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. And now after 10 days, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. When the time is there, congregation, then it is always suddenly. Even how long that we have to wait for the Lord. It happens in the life of God's people that they say, many times, shall the Lord ever come? Shall he ever fulfill his promise? Sometimes then it seems that the Lord is no more thinking about it. But then at once, at a time that they have not expected it, At a time that they give up everything, then the Lord, he comes. Therefore, you read in that text, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The second word that is from heaven, but we have to explain to you. In the first place, the meaning is that we can never expect anything from this world and from this earth. The world lays under the curse of God. We ourselves have brought that curse upon the world. And in regard to ourselves, congregation, I have not to use this evening so many words to explain that, because you have heard that your whole life, that there is no expectation of men. But now that sound on the day of Pentecost that came from heaven, why? Because 10 days before that, then Christ ascended into heaven. He appeared with his blood before his Father. With his merits, he came to his Father. The Father was satisfied, fully satisfied and content with the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that Christ as mediator, he had opened heaven, which we have closed by our sin and by our transgression. And now that heaven was opened by the mediator Jesus Christ. And now suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a noise from heaven, where the Father make haste to fulfill his promise to his church. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You read that in Habakkuk 2 verse 3. There came a sound from heaven. In heaven that it started from all eternity in the heart of the Father and in the Council of Peace. And now after that the mediator had satisfied his Father, now the time was there that the Father sent his Holy Spirit in the midst of his church and in the heart of his people. That is also one of the reasons, congregation, that we sing time and again, to the hills I lift my eyes. It have all to come from on high. The Lord is from all eternity. The Lord is all sufficient. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is merciful. The Lord shall surely come to fulfill what he had promised. There shall never fall on the ground One word that the Lord had spoken to his people and to his children. And they shall never die without the fulfilling of what the Lord had promised to his children. 'Tis impossible. There's all that we receive here in our life that is all on the basis of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is on that foundation that the Father take away all the guilt and sin of his people away. And it is on that basis that they receive eternal life, that they receive all the benefits of the covenant of grace for their own heart. But now a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Sometime you have tornadoes, sometime twisters, cyclones. And when that takes place, you know that, and we know it in our own city, what a destruction that had brought many times. We think many times when we pass Stendale, what that has happened years ago and also later on in other places too. What a destruction brings such a wind. Not here, no. There was well a sound of a rushing mighty wind, but not to destroy people. It was now to the coming of God's kingdom and to the establishing of that kingdom here on earth. Why speaks now the Bible and our text about a rushing mighty wind? Because the coming of the Holy Spirit is compared in his work and in his power by a rushing mighty wind. What such a wind can do in the realm of nature, we know a little about. We have seen that before our eyes sometime, that strong trees who were very old, for years and years standing in the ground, that they were taken up out of the ground, and that they were cast sometime miles farther, and that they lay there. Buildings, strong buildings, in one moment, they lay down. And down so that when they were looking to those buildings who lay there flat, that one contractor after the other say, it is impossible to rebuild. We have to break it off and we have to erect a new building. And now the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost that is prepared by a rushing mighty wind. And that refers to the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit.
You know out of the word of God that the Lord in the realm of nature had given time and again signs of his almighty power. You see that in the days of Moses, when the law was given on the Mount of Sinai, thundering, lightnings, storms, hurricanes, the Bible speaks many times about it. In one word, when you see that in the Bible and you see that here, on the day of Pentecost, there is no power that can stand before the work of the Holy Spirit. All on the way of Damascus, with all those men that was with him, there suddenly shone a light round about him. There was no darkness at that time, but it was all light. But there was only one in the company where the Lord had to say something to him, and that was Saul of Tarsus. And what was then the result of it? The result was that that man immediately lay down. He go not one step further. It was done with him. And that man that became immediately a beggar at the throne of grace. Before, he was one of the biggest enemies of the church. But after that, then he came a lover of the church, that he spent his whole life in the service of Jesus of Nazareth, and that he had done it with his whole heart. A sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And you know that one is firm, unmovable in his wickedness. Another in his religion. You think about that Pharisee in the front of the temple, satisfied with himself. There was no any need in his heart for grace or for grace, Christ. Nothing at all. And now, when the Lord comes, then he breaks us down in our wickedness, in our sin, but also in our religion. And you hear out of the mouth, Lord, what wilt thou that I shall do? A rushing mighty wind. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say this evening, first of all, the electing love of the Father that comes on the foreground. I have loved thee with a love eternal. In the second place, that Christ laid off his life for the satisfying of God's justice and to the salvation of his people. But congregation, there is a text in the Bible spoken by Christ himself in John 3 that no one can accept anything when it is not given from heaven to us. When it is not given to us. And now the Lord, he dealt with us as rational creatures. There is not one that traveled to eternity unwarned. We all have our warnings and admonitions. Life is full of it. And you must be astonished many times in what ways that the Lord brings people under the truth. Sometime once. Last week we were standing on an elevator with one of our elders, I think, in one evening, in some place to go up. And there was also some people standing there. And that man, he was looking to me. Yeah, he said, I know you. I don't know you. No. I don't know the man at all. But he said, I was in your church when you married some people. And then he mentioned the name. I said, yes, I can remember that I married them. And that happens time and again, people. And there is even people. You would say it is maybe unbelievable, but there is people. If you would give them $10 or $25, and you say, go then as one time with me to the church, that they would say, we have no time. We cannot do it. Really? So afraid or so full of enmity that they are afraid that they shall hear something that they not desire. You read about those devils that they say, you are coming before the time to torment us. Because they will keep what they have. And they are afraid that shall be taken away from them where they stand on. And if it come to the point for ourselves and for our families to persuade men, then you can well give it up, people. You can well give it up. But one word of the Lord and one action of the Holy Spirit, that rushing mighty wind, even that we were so tall and we have a weight of 1,000 pounds, we lay down on the ground. When that rushing mighty wind is coming, and that need now a worldly man, but that is also necessary for a religious man. That is now necessary for all of us. And who is now the people that realize that? Who is now the people that know that? That is the people that come in contact in their life with the Holy Spirit. They know that. And then the day of Pentecost in which we are living now today, oh, then we must say, because there's now a reminding on what the Lord had done on the day of Pentecost, that we must say, oh Lord, what must my heart be filled by day and by night to cry, to sigh, to beg for that Holy Spirit, for myself, for my children, for my family, that the Lord let us not go, but that there come a time in our life that the Lord breaks us down, and that we lay there as a sinner at the ground, and that we cry for the mercy of the Lord revealed in Christ Jesus. Because if the Lord comes in our life and he reveals himself unto us, then we come to the conclusion and to the realizing of our deep fallen Adam, and that that Spirit is such a blessing to receive that in our life. Paul, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, thanks be unto the Father for his unspeakable gift, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But how shall I call this evening the Holy Spirit in your midst? How shall I call him? What name shall I give him? I have congregation one name, and that is that the Holy Spirit is the gift of all gifts and the blessing of all blessings. Because it is by that Holy Spirit that we become a sinner before the Lord. And it is not only necessary to become a sinner before the Lord, but that Spirit drives us out by day and by night, and that upon our lips and in our hearts lives what we sing together out of 141, grace is God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Number 141, the first and the second stanza.